is the Cloud Enough Podcast, your launchpad for Amazon Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloud Enough Podcast. My name is Michael.
And my name is Andreas.
We are two brothers working with AWS all day. So we are consultants. So we run our own small consultancy where we help our clients to, for example, train their staff. Also, we do a lot of workshops, for example, architecture workshops or also cost workshops, things like this. So all things AWS, basically. Besides that, we are very active writing content. So we have the Cloud Enough blog that you might know. We also write books, and we also do some open source work. And last but not least, we also have a small software as a service company. It's called Marbot, and where we connect Slack and AWS. So as you can see, all the activities are somewhat related to AWS, and that's also what we like. So in this podcast, we talk about a topic that is prepared by either me or by Andreas. And the clue is that the other one does not know what the topic is up front. So today I have no idea what Andreas is going to talk about. So let's ask him, Andreas. So what's the topic of this week?
Yeah, so today we will talk about Amazon Connect. And I will do a review of this contact center service offered by Amazon. So it is all about incoming phone calls, agents, and also chat messages.
That sounds very great. So I love the reviews because they usually are very informative. They provide a lot of insights. And I also, Andreas, I must admit that I was kind of expecting something like this from you, because I know that you spent quite some time in the past month in the Connect service. So maybe can you talk a little bit about the small project that you implemented with Connect before we start with the review?
Sure, I'll do. Yeah, so I was starting to use Amazon Connect for our small consultancy because I wanted to set up a phone number that our customers and partners can call, which will then forward to one of our mobile phones automatically. We had a similar solution with a telephone provider here in Germany, but I wanted that to replace that with an AWS-powered infrastructure, and also wanted to reduce the costs for that a little bit. So that is what I did. So I transferred our phone numbers to Amazon Connect and set up a so-called flow, which is basically the workflow that runs when a phone call arrives at Amazon Connect. And this is now forwarding incoming phone calls to either your or my mobile number. It does a round robin for that. We have hours of operations on that, and I've also implemented a blacklist to keep unwanted callers out so that they are not able to distract us anymore. So I did that with Amazon Connect. So I have to mention that this is maybe not the most typical use case for Amazon Connect, but it's one possible use case. So having one public phone number and forwarding that to then, yeah, we could say private phone numbers behind, based on a routing algorithm that you can implement.
Okay, Andreas. So thank you very much for this introduction. And I can confirm that the solution is working. So we definitely receive calls through the new system. So that's a great small project. And I must admit, I never used Connect before. I just know what I read on the AWS blog and what I hear on conferences. So I'm very interested, but I doubt that I can add a lot of value today besides some stupid questions. So let's get started. Tell us a little bit more about Connect and your review, Andreas.
Yeah, okay. So I had a deeper look at the service, and this is my review. There will also be a blog post that covers the same topic. So if you want to reread some of the things that we discussed now, You will find a link to that in the show notes. So first of all, let's start. How does Amazon Connect work? So to use Amazon Connect, you first have to start a so-called Connect instance. You can start a Connect instance in one of the supported regions, so a few regions in the US, Europe, and Asia. And this instance is then basically, this is the virtual contact center for your organization. You can have multiple instances if you want to, but typically to start, all you need is one instance. The instance, the Amazon Connect instance, is the entity that your customers call in, or they can also start a chat conversation, because those are the two channels that Amazon Connect supports. It's phone calls and it's chat conversations. So both are supported. And I have to mention that the customers can call in or write a chat message, and basically Amazon Connect forwards these phone calls and these chat conversations to agents. An agent is, you can think of it as a human being that is answering the phone calls in your organization, answering chat conversations, so typically something like a help desk or maybe sales representative or something like that. The agent uses a so-called contact control panel, which is basically the web interface that the agent uses to interact with your Connect instance. So this can be used to answer phone calls and also to chat with your customers. So this is the overall picture and a few more concepts. So just to get the wording right and to get some concepts outlined is you can connect multiple phone numbers to each Connect instance. These phone numbers are used for inbound and also outbound calls. So typically you use Connect for inbound calls, but you can also use it for outbound calls as well. So for example, if you have, if you're doing outbound marketing, or I don't know, if you have to call back a customer for some reason to follow up for a support ticket or something like that. And there are two types of phone numbers. You can get a toll-free phone number or a so-called direct in-dial number, which basically looks like a typical landline phone number. You can either bring your own number or claim a number from AWS. So both is possible. So this is the phone number. And then in Amazon Connect, you can define your own flows. So flow is basically the customer experience of your contact center. You can also think of that. This is the workflow, the process that runs when a customer calls in or writes his own his first chat message. So this is basically a way of, you can basically customize Amazon Connect to your needs. There are some pre-built flows that you can use. So typical stuff like customer calls in, you forward them to a queue, or you can build more advanced stuff. For example, have conditions and also have so-called prompts, which is a voice message that you send to the customer, stuff like that. So you can basically build your own contact flow. And then there is an important concept. This is a queue. So you can have one or multiple queues, and then the flows decide in which queue a customer ends up. And then you have agents that are associated with these queues that then can answer the phone calls or answer the chat conversations. So this is the most important concept behind Amazon Connect.
Okay, Andrea, so let me create a small example and then tell me if I use the concepts correctly. So let's assume we create a, we want to create a contact center for our products that we have. So this is the Marbot at the chatbot, and also the we have the S3 VeroScan solution. So we have a single phone number and the customer calls this phone number, and then we have a flow. In the flow, for example, we ask, okay, is your question related to Marbot? Press 1. Or is your question related to S3 VeroScan? Press 2. Otherwise, press 3. Then we have two queues. Maybe we have the Marbot queue and the S3 VeroScan queue. So that's kind of how it works. Is this correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a very good example of how you connect the phone numbers, the flows, and the queues. And then you have agents that are associated to the queue. So you can, for example, say, oh, Michael is associated to the Marbot queue. So you get all the questions coming in from Marbot, and I'm associated to the S3 viewer scan queue. So I'm only receiving phone calls on that queue. So that is, for example, how you can build. This is probably most important if you really operate a big contact center with maybe hundreds or tens of agents. Then you probably need to have different queues for different topics and so on. You can also have different priorities. So, for example, if a very important customer calls in, you send them to a queue where they have shorter waiting times. Stuff like that is possible as well.
Okay, great. Okay, so I think I understood the concepts. So feel free to continue.
Okay, cool. So another important thing to mention about Amazon Connect is the integration it offers. So maybe the most important one is Amazon Connect allows you to customize your contact center by writing source code, and you can then execute and upload that source code with AWS Lambda. So you can integrate AWS Lambda with Amazon Connect, which means one step in your flow, in your contact flow, can be calling a Lambda function. And this is very flexible, because you can then do whatever you want in this Lambda functions. We talk about that in more detail in a minute. Amazon Connect is also offering an integration with Amazon Lex. So Lex is the voice or chatbot service offered by AWS. So some people say it is similar to what AWS is doing with Alexa and Echo. So you can build your own chat and voice bot with Amazon Lex and integrate that with Amazon Connect as well. The third integration is Amazon Kinesis video streams. So that might sound a little bit strange. So it's not really, it's because we only have phone calls, right? So why do we use video streams? But Kinesis video streams can also just process audio and just leave the video part out. So what is possible is you can send recordings of the call, incoming calls from your customers to Kinesis video streams, and to then pre-process that information later, for example, to do transcriptions of the phone calls, stuff like that, can be done with the integration into Amazon Kinesis video streams. And because a contact center typically needs to integrate with your CRM system, Amazon Connect comes with integrations for Salesforce and Zendesk out of the box. So you can integrate it with those two CRM tools very easily. So in short, maybe to summarize all of that, Amazon Connect is designed to operate a contact center at a very small or even a very large scale.
Okay, I see, Andreas. So let me continue to improve the example that I presented before. So instead of asking the customer to press 1 for Marbot or 2 for the S3 viewer scan, we could also use Lex and just ask the customer a question. So what product are you interested in? And then the customer just, or the person who calls the number just speaks into his phone and says, okay, I want to talk about Marbot. And then we use Lex to discover that the customer actually wants to talk about Marbot, and then route into the right direction. Is this something that is possible?
Exactly. Yeah, that is possible. Yeah, that's exactly the use case. And it can even be more conversational. So the chatbot, or in this case, the voicebot, can also ask something back. So for example, so you're interested in Marbot, so what is your workspace ID or something like that? So you can even build small conversations with that.
Okay, I see. So that sounds very very handy. So I mentioned one use case that I came up with. So can you maybe add a few more use cases? So what else is possible with Connect?
Yeah. So okay. So we talked about a very typical contact center that we all know. So at least from the customer side, we all know these contact centers. So you call in, or you chat with an agent that is hopefully able to solve your problem quickly. But there are some other use cases, because when you think of it, basically Amazon Connect is a programmable telephone system. So you can do different kinds of stuff with it. So with a little bit of imagination, you can come up with other use cases. So we talked about our use case already. So we are not using queues. We are not using this agent-based approach. We just use Amazon Connect to round robin incoming calls to other phone numbers, basically. So that is, you can basically implement your own routing logic as well and just forward incoming calls to other phone numbers. That is one other use case for Amazon Connect. You can also think about build voice bots with the help of Amazon Connect. So you don't need to have agents sitting behind Connect answering questions. You can also build a system that answers all incoming phone calls completely automatically. So think about stuff like customers are calling in to request information. So for example, I want to have information about the weather forecast, or I want information about my order, stuff like that. You can 100% automate these things. So don't use the really contact center agent-based approach. So have everything automated. You can even think about building transaction systems. So for example, enter an e-commerce transaction or something via the voice bot and a phone call. I already mentioned another thing that I was using, that I'm using Connect for, is I've implemented a blacklist to block promotional calls. So with a little Lambda function, a DynamoDB table, you basically can come up with everything you want and just blacklist incoming calls and send them to DevNull, basically. So you can think of really a lot of different use cases with this programmable telephone system.
Okay, so that sounds interesting. And regarding the blacklist approach, I think there are even like websites available where they already have a database of phone numbers. And I'm not sure if they have an API, but if you can kind of leverage their data, you don't even have to create your own blacklist. You can just rely on the smart, crowdsourced blacklists that are available. So that's really, really cool, because those calls really annoy me all the day.
Yeah, so I'm looking for a crowd-based blacklist of headhunters, basically, because 90% of all incoming calls are headhunters that want to talk to me. Okay, so you can think of all kinds of use cases, basically everything that involves a telephone and some automation behind. Then the next part of the review, so it's always important to have a look at the pricing of an AWS service. And I think Amazon Connect is doing a really great job here, because there are almost no fixed costs for using Amazon Connect. So you pay for the voice and the chat usage. So that's the first component of the pricing model. So we pay about 2 cents per minute, US dollar cents per minute for voice usage. And we pay 0.005 US dollars per chat message. So it's really a very fine granular pricing model here. So if no one calls in, you're not paying anything here, at least for this component. So this is one aspect of the pricing. There is a small fixed fee that is for the phone numbers that you are claiming and managing with Amazon Connect. So that then depends heavily on the AWS region and the country of the phone number. So the monthly cost, for example, for a toll-free phone number in the US is less than $2. Or, for example, our phone number in Germany, which is a direct inward dial number, is $3 per month. So the fixed cost for the number. It's just that the number is available and connected to Amazon Connect. So this is the only fixed fee that we have to pay for. There are then additional costs for inbound and outbound usage of the phone numbers. So this is basically something that goes on top of the voice usage is you also have to pay for telephone connection, basically. So this, again, depends very, very heavily depending on the region and the country. So which country calls in to which region? So region means where does your connect instances, where's your connect instance running? I'm not a telephone expert, basically, but the costs to me seem to be quite reasonable. So I don't see anything special in here. So a phone connection costs money, and you have to pay for that when using AWS as well. So it doesn't seem to be a big deal to me. So yeah, there's an Amazon Connect pricing page that you need to go through when you want to know about the details for your country and your regions. But in general, I think the main thing to take away here is that almost all costs for Amazon Connect are pay-per-usage, and there's only very, very little fixed costs per month. So I've done a small cost estimation for Amazon Connect in our use case. So maybe to give you an impression what that means. So I calculated the costs, estimated the costs for our Connect instance running in Europe, Frankfurt. We are using 3 direct inward dial numbers. And I calculated with that we use around 30 minutes of voice usage per day. So I expect that on average, we don't have more than 30 minutes inbound phone calls over Amazon Connect. So with this the result of this calculation is we will pay around $16 for the voice usage. Additionally, we will pay $4 for the phone number usage. And we then pay the fixed cost of $9 for having claimed 3 phone numbers. So in total, this is $29. So, which is, I think, totally reasonable and less than what we have been paying for a similar setup before.
Okay, Andrea. So I have one question, and I'm not sure if you can answer this without looking it up in the documentation. But is it possible, like if I create my Connect instance in, for example, Ireland, and is it possible to attach a US phone number to this instance, or can I only attach US numbers to instances in the US?
You can attach any kind of phone numbers to your instance running anywhere. So only the costs vary in this case.
Okay, that's nice, because then we could offer, because most of our customers are actually from the US, so we could offer a phone number for, like, a +1 phone number for the US customers.
Yes, there are some restrictions in some countries. So you're not allowed to claim a phone number in every country without having some point of residence there. So I think in the US it's possible. In Germany, it's not that easy, because for Germany you have to fill out a form that makes sure that you basically either live or have business in Germany. In general, that is possible.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I think we understood the pricing, and I mean, you definitely have to do the math if you plan some like larger migrations. But there seems to be there are 3 different dimensions that we have to calculate, and basically depends all on the usage or in terms of minutes.
Yeah, I also think that when I think about if you migrate from an existing contact center to Amazon Connect, you probably have all the data that you need, because all you need basically is the minutes of inbound and outbound phone calls or chat messages. And I think that is probably something that you can get very easily to make the calculation. So it's different to other services where it's basically not possible to have the information up front to calculate or estimate the costs. I think with Amazon Connect, this should be quite easy.
Okay, I see. So let's dive a little bit deeper, Andrea. So you already kind of sold Amazon Connect to me, and because you mentioned that it is like a programmable telephone system. So can you go into more details? What is possible with Lambda functions? How does it work? And what are the Or can you like just go a little bit deeper here, what's possible and how can it be used?
Overall, what we can do is we can add a step to our connect flow, which says invoke a Lambda function. And the input for the Lambda function is basically all the information that Connect knows about the incoming caller or the customer already. So you typically get something like the phone number or some more information about who is calling or who is writing in. So this is the event that is coming in. And you can then execute your Lambda function, for example, to talk to a third-party service or to fetch information from a database like DynamoDB. And then you return a very simple JSON structure. So there's not allowed to be an hierarchy. It has to be string values only. There's even limitations on the length of the key, the characters in the key, and the values. So a lot of limitations. But you can hand back basically a map of data that then gets stored as additional information for the customer inside the Connect flow. So you can think about, for example, when someone calls in, you call a Lambda function that then queries a database and, for example, finds out more about the incoming customer. So I don't know which products has this customer bought before. Are there any associated tickets in your support system, stuff like that? So you can do things like that with this Lambda integration. So I already mentioned that you can call Lambda, but there are also a lot of restrictions, basically. So the first is you have no more than 8 seconds for that call, and also the customer basically waits on his phone call in silence until the response from Lambda is coming in. So you have to make sure that this is also why this limit is 8 seconds, so that you cannot build stuff that doesn't work at the end. You can only have very short running Lambda functions, no more than 8 seconds, if possible, even less than that. I mentioned already that the result, so there are some restrictions on which characters are allowed in the key and the value. Everything has to be a string, so the JSON that you hand back has to be string values, and it cannot be larger than 32 kilobit of UTF-8 data. So but there are restrictions that you need to be aware of with the Lambda integration. So to summarize, the idea behind Lambda is you call the function and it returns additional information for the contact, and you can then use that information in the next actions, in the next steps inside your flow.
So you talked about this flow already a few times. So how do I define the flow? So what's the, is there a visual editor to do this, or how do I define the flow that is used for the call?
Yes, exactly. So the user, there's a user interface there where you define your flows. Basically, there are a bunch of actions or steps available, and you just drag and drop them and then connect the different steps with arrows, and then define the configuration for the steps. Very often you have different outputs. So you have an output for success and you have an output for error. So you have to basically handle the errors that can happen inside an action and a step. So that is how this works. So you have a graphical user interface for that. So maybe I can go through how can you integrate a Lambda function? How does that look like with configuring your flow? So first of all, to be able to call a Lambda function from your Connect instance, you have to add the Lambda function to the configuration of the Connect instance. So this is basically a part of the user interface. You can just add up to 35 Lambda functions by default to your instance, And then the instance is able to make calls to this Lambda functions. Otherwise, it gets an access denied error. So this is the first thing you do. And the next thing is you add a Lambda function integration action into your flow. Basically, all you do here is you select the Lambda function that you want to call and have that in your flow. And in my case, I implemented the blacklist with the help of a Lambda function. So maybe I talk you through that. So the Lambda function is invoked. It fetches data from a Dynamo database. So it looks basically, is this phone number in our blacklist? And then it returns a simple JSON where there's just an attribute blacklisted with a value true or false. And then I have the next step in my flow is a flow that basically checks the attributes of the contact. In this case, I can then check, is there an attribute blacklisted? And if so, is the value true? And then I can have, from there on, I can basically branch into different paths in my workflow. This is one example for an integration that you can build with a Lambda function. I talked already about the user interface. So I have to admit, I have never said that before of an AWS service, but I really like the user interface to manage the Connect instance. I think it's very modern. It works fine. It's simple to use. It's self-explanatory, and it guides you through all the required steps, basically. This is also true for the contact control panel, which is the thing that the agents use to accept incoming calls and also to chat with the customers. So this is also a web interface, basically a soft phone running in your browser. There's maybe one problem with those user interfaces. They only work in two browsers, Chrome and Firefox. So Safari, Internet Explorer, sorry, you're not able to use Amazon Connect. That is maybe a little bit funny in 2020 to have an application that is doing that, but that's how it is.
Okay, so that sounds easy to use, and I would also like to see. So I just looked at a few screenshots of the user interface, and that would also be a good interface for step functions and other services.
That's true.
So maybe they can share this a little bit for other services.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like Amazon bought some company, and they integrated basically their web interface into the management console. I don't know exactly how this is, if that is true, but it looks like it hasn't been associated with Amazon before, at least the user interface. Okay, so let's talk about the next important thing, and this is something that is a little bit a downer. So unfortunately, Amazon Connect does not offer an API to configure your Connect instance. So basically everything an administrator is doing is something you have to do by clicking through the user interface. You cannot use infrastructure as code tools like CloudFormation or Terraform to configure and spin off your data center, which is, I think, very, very bad practice because it prevents us from deploying the contact center in an automated way. You basically cannot test before you go to production because you have to click. You basically, if you want to test, have a test instance, you have to duplicate the flow with the user interface. And you can think about how error prone it is to do so. So this is very unfortunate that there is no management API for Amazon Connect yet. They have introduced a feature which is still in beta, which allows you to import and export these workflows, these contact flows. So this might help a little, but it is far away from what we are used to when working with AWS services in other areas. So I think this is definitely the biggest area where AWS needs to improve the service.
I actually don't like this kind of, I don't know if you can see it's a trend. So there are new services added, same with QuickSight and things like this. And they do not longer offer APIs for the services from day one. which is kind of the, I mean, at the beginning of AWS, so this was the, like, the argument, so the cloud and everything is programmable because it has an API. And now they continue to add new services where this is just missing. So that's an interesting evolution, yeah. Okay. So, Andreas, now we mentioned already one thing that's not, or that could be improved. So what else have you discovered that doesn't work as good as it could be?
Yeah, so now we're diving into the topics that are not mentioned on the marketing slides, right? So one is the missing API. Second is I had a look at the options to authenticate with Amazon Connect. So basically how to authenticate an agent. Because if you have tens or hundreds of agents that need to connect to your instance, you need to find a way to have that managed efficiently. So there are three options with Amazon Connect. First is you can have a built-in user database. So then you just manage your users inside of your Amazon Connect instance, define usernames, passwords, and so on. The second option is you can integrate with AWS Directory Service, which gives you an integration with Microsoft Active Directory, Active Directory Connector, and a simple Active Directory. So that is option two. I'm not a real expert in this area, so I haven't looked at this in more detail. But I had a look at the third option, which is basically the SAML integration. So you can configure SAML for your Amazon Connect instance, and then you can use whatever other identity provider that speaks SAML as well for authentication. So I was planning to do so, and reading through the documentation, and the documentation then says, yes, you can set up SAML. However, you have to manually add all the users to your Connect instance. Otherwise, they will not be able to log in. So that means you have a user in your identity provider, or with your identity provider, federate the user with SAML. But then to be actually able to use Amazon Connect, you have to add these users manually to your Connect instance. And you have to be very careful because the username has to match with the user in your identity from your identity provider. So I think, yes, SAML is available, but it's not really fully implemented because with that, it is still a lot of manual work to do to get your users authenticated with an Amazon Connect instance. So this is a bummer and also needs improvement. Okay, let's talk about the next thing. So there are two options to add a phone number to your Connect instance, to your contact center. You can claim a phone number provided by AWS. So for Germany, I've seen there are numbers for Berlin and Frankfurt, for example. For other regions, they have phone numbers that you can claim as well. The other option is you can transfer an existing phone number from your carrier to AWS. And so transferring phone numbers has been an adventure, and it is still an adventure in 2020. I've gone through the process for a few German phone numbers. And I mentioned that because you have to keep in mind that the process of transferring a phone number is different in each country. So it might be easier or even more complicated in other countries. So how does it work? So how do you transfer a phone number? It all starts with creating an AWS support case. Good news here is you do not need to pay for AWS support at that moment because it's a service limit increase request that you have to do. So you go to the support center, create a new support case, choose service limit increase as a type, then choose Amazon Connect, type in the Amazon resource name of your Connect Center instance, select the region, and then the type that you have to choose is phone number porting. So this is basically the way to open a support ticket to transfer a phone number to your Connect instance. And then you describe which phone numbers you want to transfer. And then AWS support will come back with a PDF. And the PDF includes a formula that you have to fill out, basically all kinds of information about the phone numbers, the current carrier, and so on, the day of the transfer that you want to schedule, and so on. So this seems to be a very manual process. So I've been going back and forth with AWS support many times. Also, AWS support has to wait for answers from the Amazon Connect service team. So it took quite a while to get the correct PDF formula because the first one they sent me was not the right one. And I made a mistake filling it out. And so it went back and forth multiple times. So overall, it took us almost 2 months to transfer our phone numbers, which is also partly my fault because I was not responding to their answers very, very quickly. But in general, I can see that probably it is not possible to go through that process in less than a month. So my advice here, if you plan to transfer a phone number to Amazon Connect, you have to plan enough time. So maybe at least 4 weeks probably should be in your time plan. So it is possible. Then your phone number is directly connected to your Amazon Connect instance. Maybe interesting is it is connected to exactly one Connect instance. And if you spin up a new Connect instance in the same region, in the same AWS account, you cannot use these numbers. There's also no way to transfer them to the other Connect instance. You have to file another support request. And then AWS is able to transfer your number from one instance to another quickly, but it still requires the support. So there's no way to do that yourself. So this is maybe the interesting part of transferring a phone number.
What else is missing in JS? So you already mentioned that there might be, or there might should be a better process for adding, or like, how's it called? Adding existing phone numbers. What else could be added to make it more easy to use?
So there's one area of the service that we haven't talked about in detail yet. So this is the chat channel. So it's not only about phone calls, it also is also about chat conversations, which is basically, I think, a very good thing that you have both options to your customers, so they can either call in or you can write you a message. The thing is, all Connect is doing is it offers you an API. It offers you an API for chat messages, basically. And the user experience from a developer point of view is very poor. So there is some GitHub repos with some basic examples, but there is no widget that you can just copy to your website and it works out of the box like you have with other providers that do similar things. So we had such a chat widget on our websites multiple times, and there are providers that do so very, very easily, just copy and paste a little bit of JavaScript. So, but that is not possible with Amazon Connect. So you have to basically build that chat widget on your own. It's even worth, you also have to build parts of the backend your own, because there is an API call that you have to do that requires IAM authentication. So you basically need to spin up an API gateway Lambda function for that as well. So the developer experience is not very good here. So I expect, as a customer, I expect AWS to provide me a JavaScript chat widget that I can use on my websites very, very easily without having to do much development work. And this is not available yet. So I think this is a very big missing feature for the chat widget. Also, the chat feature only works with the API, so you can embed it to your website, but there is no way to interact with, for example, WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or stuff like that. So this is probably also missing if you want to offer customer service over these channels as well. So I already mentioned another missing feature. That it's not possible to transfer phone numbers between Connect instances without asking AWS support to do so. We talked about the SAML integration. What's also interesting is it's not possible to switch the authentication mechanism later. So if you decide for the built-in user database now, you cannot later switch to SAML for your Connect instance. And as we talked about that, you basically have to click all the contact flows, all the configurations manually by going through the user interface. Rebuilding everything to basically migrate to SAML is a lot of work and very, very error prone. So this is absolutely missing as well, ability to switch the authentication mechanism without rebuilding the whole Connect instance. Another funny thing is, I mentioned that there is an integration with Amazon Lex, but Lex is not available in the same regions than Amazon Connect. So for example, in Frankfurt, this is the European region for Amazon Connect, but there is no Lex available here, which doesn't make much sense to me. So that is missing as well.
Okay, I understand. And I'm not sure if this is still true, but and this is also only interesting for the listeners from Germany. But so Alexa is available in Germany, and it also speaks or understands the German language. But this is not true for Lex, so they don't support the German language. So it doesn't help you that much if it's available, so because it doesn't support the language. Yeah. But I'm not sure if this changed in the meantime, so maybe we can double check this. Okay. So that's the missing pieces. So what else do we have to check in a review? I think it's the service limits or quotas. Can you dive a little bit into the limitations that we have, like limitations in terms of limits that AWS define?
Yeah, so there is a list of quotas available in the official documentation. So a few examples, there is a maximum of 500 users per instance, which I understand is the number of agents that can connect to an instance. This is not a hard quota, so you can increase that quota by filing a support ticket. Same is true for Lambda functions. We have 35 Lambda functions that we can connect to an instance. This is also a soft limit, so you can increase it if possible. There are other limits that you cannot increase, at least that is what is mentioned on the documentation page, which is, for example, active chats per agent is 5. So one agent cannot chat to more than 5 customers in parallel. So this is a hard quota. I don't know why, but this is what they say on the documentation page. Another limit is characters per chat message is 1,024 characters. And this is also a hard quota. So you cannot increase the quota by asking AWS support for help. I want also to mention something that I find really frustrating is, so AWS publishes their default quotas. And they tell you if this is a hard limit, which you cannot increase, or if it's a soft limit, which you can increase upon request through AWS support. But what they cannot tell you is AWS support does not answer the question. So I asked the question, what's the upper limit? So what's the hard limit for the soft limits, basically? So what is, if I want to have, I don't know, 1 million users per instance, is that possible or not? So the thing is, AWS support does not answer you that kind of questions. All you know is the default limits, and you know that it is possible to increase them, but you don't know the upper limit. So I think this is a very bad practice, not only for Amazon Connect, but for other AWS services as well, because you cannot plan upfront if a certain service will match with your requirements. At least you don't know how big you can grow until you reach the upper limit up front. So I think this is a bad practice, and they should document on their public pages the hard limit for the soft limits, basically. So that is what I think is missing.
Yeah, I agree. And it is also a little bit like, it's not very transparent, because sometimes you also talk to people, and it seems also be possible to even raise hard limits. So if there's a business case, then basically those limits don't apply anymore. So which I like it that the documentation is open, that the pricing is open, and everything basically is available without this kind of hidden information and all this kind of stuff. So that really leads to rumors, and you don't really know if it's really true or not. And so I prefer to the open policy that AWS has with documentation and pricing. And even for pricing, it's also not it's also the case that you get discounts and things like this. But okay, that's fine. But yeah, I also would prefer if this would be like clearly documented in the open. So
at least they could document. So this is our default limit, and it's possible to increase it up to a specific hard limit. And okay, it's fine if they increase it even further for some of their most important customers or stuff like that. But at least I want to know a range that I can plan with. So that is really missing. And this shouldn't be missing. Okay, so I want to summarize my review. And we do that typically with what we call the service maturity table, which I have filled out for Amazon Connect as well. So this basically goes over different categories that are the same for all AWS services that we review, and then calculates a so-called maturity score. The maturity score goes from 0 to 10. 10 is the best maturity, so very stable, very mature service. 0 is basically a service that hasn't been released yet. So you can think of it like that. So I've been going through that. So I'm not going to each and every point, because we have 10 different criteria that we go through, but I go over the most important ones. And so I think the feature completeness of Amazon Connect deserves the score of an 8. So I think you can build valuable solutions with that service already. So I think there's not much missing. What is missing is CloudFormation and Terraform support, which is even worse because there's not even an API. So it's not possible to build that support at the moment. So this is, this gets the score of a 0 because it's totally missing. Also tags are missing. So no way to have billing information based on tags for Amazon Connect. IAM Cronello, identity and access management is fine. So everything I've gone through there is very well done. There is no integration with AWS Config. There is support for AWS CloudTrail, but as far as I see, the most important actions are basically missing. So that is maybe not too good. Amazon Connect is not available in all commercial regions. It is far away from being available in all regions. I think it's currently available in 6 regions. So there's way to go for that. Good news, there is an SLA for Amazon Connect in place. So you can look up what Amazon is planning for or guaranteeing in case of uptime of the service. So in total, I'm calculating a maturity score of 5, which is somewhere in the middle. And this is, I think, mostly due to the fact that we are missing very basic parts of an AWS service, which is the API, tagging, and also config. So this is, it's not really well integrated into the typical AWS ecosystem, I would say. So that is something to work on for AWS.
Okay, great. So I think that's really one of the lower scores that we had so far. What's interesting is that feature completeness is so high. So I think we never had something before where their feature completeness was pretty good, but still there was basically a lack of a lot of other important pieces, which is interesting. And if you are not tightly integrated into the AWS ecosystem, then this maybe doesn't matter to you. But if you expect all the like nice security features of AWS and also billing, allocation and stuff, then this would be a little bit disappointing. Okay.
Yeah, so I think this is also a disclaimer I have to make, because I have never operated a call center. So I don't know 100% all the features that are essential for doing so. So from my perspective, everything seems fine from the contact center part. And I'm reviewing Amazon Connect from my view as an AWS consultant and software engineer. And from that perspective, a lot of features are missing, especially API, what we talked about and stuff. So I think that might also, this is something you have to consider when taking my advice here for granted.
Okay, Andrea. So thank you very much for your review. I think we are done with the review. So there is one announcement that we would like to make here in the podcast. And you might already heard about our book, Rapid Docker on AWS, which is a way to get started with Docker on AWS using continuous deployment and using infrastructure and code and basically all the best practices with lots of examples in PHP, Java, Node, Python, Ruby on Rails. So that's all covered. And what we released recently is a video version of the same content. So if you're not into reading, if you prefer a video, then this is now available for you. So if you're interested in learning about Docker and learning about Docker on AWS in specific, then check out our Rapid Docker on AWS ebook or video course. That's available for you now. Okay, Andreas, anything else that we should announce here?
No, I don't think so. So check out the show notes for links to the blog post, to Rapid Docker on AWS video course. And also don't forget to subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast player and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. Thank you very much. And speak to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, thank you very much. And talk to you soon. Bye.